Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network. New shows every day. Find us at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to episode 181 of Red Wings Rant. We're tirades and impassioned pleas for your Detroit Red Wings finally have a home. Today, we're going to be talking about getting our asses kicked again in Montreal, being without Dylan Larkin. We do have a couple of things to celebrate, like Gord Seider and Sebastian Kosa. So we will get into all of that. Mike, I thought the best way to start the conversation with the Montreal game, because so the last time we played Montreal, we didn't even talk about it on the podcast. We just said, you know what? That game doesn't count. That's an outlier, because we had such a great start to the season. We just decided there was no way we were going to suck this year. And then we did it again. So clearly there is a common denominator in these Canadian games, which, you know, and I did find on Evolving Hockey, you can split this stuff up and take a nice deep dive into how each team performs game by game. And actually, let me blow this up here so I can see it. Everybody can see it. What I wanted to highlight was the expected goals for percentage and how we have an average. If you guys can see this, Mike, you can see this right now?
Yes.
We have an average of 49.14, which is, you know, below the 50%. Again, the expected goals for percentage is that measurement of shot location and amount of shots. And the percentage is in regards to measuring your own expected goals against your opponent's expected goals. And you want to be above 50% to say that you're getting most of the chances in a game, to say that you have a better chance to win. So our average is below that 50%, but you could see, Mike, when we were at without Tyler Bertuzzi in Canada, we are that much worse. The only game that you could add to the list would be the Washington Capitals game, where we still eked out a win in overtime. But yeah, Mike, it's clear when I mentioned the common denominator, you know, we have one extra absence yesterday that we need to discuss, but yeah, it's not going great, Mike. It's not going great when Tyler B isn't around.
Yeah, I mean, you know, if you kind of comb around and try to read the article, it's like, man, Red Wings are really on a bit of a cold streak here. And it's really, yeah, well, we had a couple of Canada games kind of near each other. So I kind of expect that to keep happening, because when you are playing without your very best player, it's pretty noticeable. And then, you know, we also had a Larkin-less game, and I don't know how many deep cut analytics you got to do when your two best players aren't playing. You're usually in pretty big trouble. Arguably, if you want to put Vrana on that list, that's three out of your top four. I'm already going to put Raymond as your best player as far as scoring goes. Yep. So I guess the only thing is, if you're Blashill, I think you got to be just a little disappointed that it doesn't feel like the Red Wings are taking these opportunities. You know, like that's a lot of ice time that has to go out. You know, like Bertuzzi plays, you know, like 20-ish minutes a game. He's a number one power play unit. I mean, that's opportunities. That's 20 extra minutes of opportunity. We got to fill that ice time. Every power play, we got to try and fill that out. And it doesn't feel like anybody else is, I don't know, willing, or God, I hope not, just able to step up. That might be the scarier part.
Abel's an issue. Quick shout out, Performance Art. He's about. What's up, my man? Tristan just wanted to stop by. He's got some homework to do. Tristan, I got to tell you, my man, there is a Mitchell Stevens episode that has been recorded was recorded today. Just got to edit it down. So you got to keep your keep your head out. Keep your ear to the ground so that you don't miss that one. But yeah, I just wanted to make sure I got the shout out. Oh, Soap Dish is here. So I guess we can jump into performance arts statement here. He's sick of Rasmussen. He's had enough of him. Now I stated in my preview for the Montreal game, and this is about you saying, are they willing or are they able? And this is more or less about Rasmussen replacing Dylan Larkin and not really about Bertuzzi, but I think to performance art's point and to what I'm about to say, I think the able might be a bigger issue here, because I think what we saw, a lot of people were upset with Blasha last night, not getting his team ready to go. But you just made the argument yourself, pointing out Verana's out as well. And you basically have, before the season started, our first line that you would have penciled in of Bertuzzi, Larkin, and Verana are all out. And when a team is missing their top line, I guarantee it's going to be pretty difficult to find a win. Now, I will say this conversation could go in so many different directions when you bring up a name like Michael Rasmussen, because when I go back to the other point I was making on my preview from yesterday's game, I said, well, this is that opportunity we've been asking for Rasmussen. And what we saw, Mike, was a guy who, by all accounts, this goes back to his initial scouting report, skating was an issue. And skating, Mike, how many years later after the draft, was an issue?
those draft guys nailed it. Boom! Call that shit. Matt, I got two fun numbers for you. Are you ready?
Okay, yeah, shoot.
All right, so one of them, I'm going to put a positive spin on Montreal owning us. Also, this is a little bit of a revenge series, because didn't we almost sweep the Canadiens? Was it 2 years ago?
Oh, we went 4-0.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is a little bit of a revenge series so far. The Canadiens, by the way, 3-8, two of those wins. Yeah, and regulation is really. Anyway, Matt, I have a fun number for you, because I think it'll make you feel kind of happy. Who led the Red Wings defensively in ice time against Montreal?
I'm going to guess it was Mo Sider.
Matt, it took you one guess. You are correct. Now, why did the Red Wings lose? Matt, which forward led the Red Wings in ice time against the Montreal Canadiens?
Oh, my God.
if you guess this, Matt, then I don't know. I think you should have your name etched in the FanDuel, like, Hall of Fame, because there's no way anybody else would have got this on the first guess.
I'm going to say, because this is so off the wall, and we've discussed him a little bit, I'm going to try Pew Suter first.
Oh, Matt. I like where your head's at, but that is wrong. I think you're still going to be stunned by this answer. Matt, Gags himself, Sam Gagne.
Oh,
we're not
man.
Keeping that nickname. Was that Red Wing Twitter calling him Gags?
Yeah, at Detroit Red Wings decided his name is Gags.
There had to be a second choice, right?
That was one for, you know, that was somebody just flying by the seat of their pants that night. I gotta believe that they hire those guys, and that's their job for the night. Like, you're getting brought in to handle Red Wings Twitter, and there's nobody managing that. They just tell them, try not to get our account shut down and have at it. Gang.
You know, the only one I can think of that's worse is I work with somebody, and their last name is Jasinski, and it's a little bit like using the first syllable of that last name, so it's almost as bad. But anyway, just shocking, Matt. I'm gonna give you 30 seconds. Your coach Blashel, how did Gags lead the forwards in ice time? Your thoughts? Wow, getting into character quick.
I mean. He's a Renaissance man, right? So he can do it all.
Sure.
So clearly he could be out there for power plays and penalty kills. So that's his goose suit. If I may.
He's a real Brandon Inge out there.
Yeah, so he's going to be getting those extra minutes for those reasons. So I'm going to say that's how that happened.
All right, we'll give it to you. And then just give us one Blashill face for that question.
Beautiful. So I would say, like, the best point to come back to, though, is that there was a lot of panic yesterday on social media.
And our best players were playing. It wasn't even a game.
Yeah, that's what I'm coming back to.
Most of the Red Wings didn't show up, let alone fans. Like,
so yeah, I think that's the best point to land on, is that there is no need to panic. The question I wanted to ask, and it was brought up by our friend of the show, Max Boltman, of course, was on a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
His article today, he said there's two identities that the Red Wings have right now. And if I pulled up Evolving Hockey again, I would say that identity is pretty much defined by whether or not we're in Canada. So I don't know if it's fair to say we have two identities, or if it's just we have an identity when we're missing our top players, or it's not even an identity. We look worse when our top players aren't in. And I think that's normal. I think that's fair. I think that's kind of like what would happen for any sport, any team, anywhere. Right? Can't we all just agree on that?
It's got to be that. I'm having a rough time because, like, without your best players, it's not even real, right? And yeah, Soapdish nailing it right here. 0-3 on the Bertuzzi Canadian Trail. I mean, you know, this is a Detroit sports show. You saw how the Pistons were winless without Cade Cunningham. And now he's back and he looks incredibly rusty. Like he hasn't touched a basketball since the whole time he was hurt. But he'll get back. But God, it's such a world of difference. It's weird. Almost the equivalent, like the Red Wings without... It's almost like a team playing without their quarterback, Matt. Like, I can't believe it's that bad.
I can't highlight the last row, but I wanted everybody to see this. This is that same table, the game logs. The last row here, and if I may, the three highlighted games at the bottom here are games in Canada. So anybody listening to the podcast, I do apologize, but we're looking at expected goals plus or minus. So you're basically just taking that expected goals for... and seeing the difference between your expected goals against. And, I mean, there's our one game here, October 29th. That was against Florida. Florida, Mike, I mean, come on. They look like world beaters. They're the top team in the league right now with, with Carolina. So, I mean, is that the worst thing in the world, that we were a smidge below zero? And, again, you're looking at this expected goals plus or minus statistic, you're taking your expected goals for.
You can live with that.
Right. Sure. So it's just a smidge below, not great. But then the rest of these numbers are above, or they're either at zero or above. And I would say that's normal for where we want the Wings. I mean, we talked at the beginning of the season that since we played that second half of our 2021 season was at 500 hockey, and we made upgrades to this team, we made the argument before the season started, Mike, that we could sniff a 500 points percentage by the end of the season, a 500 season for this Red Wings team. And when you take a look at this statistic of 5-on-5 chances and our opponent, our chances versus our opponent's chances, and pretty much we're either hovering around right at zero or we're kicking up above it, I just think, like... There's too much panic. And this is like probably the best way to illustrate that is this statistic here on the end of this table. Again, for anybody watching on YouTube, just to show that difference that we really do. We either compete to a T or we handle that game completely. And I just don't want people to go too far in one direction or the other, because it certainly happened last night. All right, Mike, we have other stuff to talk about.
Some good news, actually, but yeah.
Yeah, but before we do that, we are. I want to get this right, damn it. We want to get out of here in 30 minutes. We want to do, finally, a 30-minute show, so that means we're about halfway, Mike, and that means it's everybody's favorite part of the show. Mike, I want you to jump in here and tell everybody where Matt's been winning a bunch of money every weekend watching football games.
NFL fans and NHL fans hungry for a big win this week. DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL and NHL. As you covered, new customers can bet just $5 on any NFL team to win their game. And if they do, you win $200 in free bets. Winner, winner, turkey dinner. It's that simple. The sportsbook isn't available in your state yet. DraftKings won't leave you empty-handed. Everyone can play for huge cash prizes all season long with DraftKings daily fantasy sports contests. DraftKings giving all new customers a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes with their first deposit.
Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use promo code THPN. Bet just $5 on any NFL team to win their game and win $200 in free bets. If they win, you win with promo code THPN. This week at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Must be 21 or older, New Jersey, Indiana, or Pennsylvania only. New customers only. Minimum $5 deposit and $1 wager required. One per customer. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Whew. All right. Got that one out of the way. We do have an official complaint, Mike. 30 minutes, ooh, way too short for a Red Wings rant episode. We'll get personal here for a second. Mike, little Teddy boy's going through sleep training right now.
Oh, Teddy boy!
He cried. Not just like, you know, not like a... I mean, like, screech crying. Like a demon was possessing him for 2 hours last night.
Wow.
3 a.m. to 5 a.m.
The real Halloween spirit for a Teddy boy, huh?
Woo! Yeah. So... I'm riding a coffee-fueled roller coaster right now. A lot of cold brew is circulating through the veins.
Coursing through the Matt veins.
Yeah, so Matt does have to cut this one a little short, and I'm wasting time, right? I'm wasting time talking
about
it.
That's right. We like hearing about your life, Matt.
Oh, thank you.
We like hearing about old Teddy Boy.
You know what? I like talking about myself.
Really, Matt? Like two podcasts we hadn't figured it out. But go ahead, Matt. What do you got for us hockey-wise?
Well, we got... you know what? This is the wrong one, but Sebastian Kosa posted his 10th career WHL shutout last night with a 7-0 victory. I think the Edmonton Oil Kings might be a little bit more...
A little stacks.
Yeah.
It sounds like they're from Alabama college football, but, you know, for hockey... It's stacked a little bit in their favor. But what are you gonna do? Be mad that the guy was the best player on the best team? Tough bananas. Somebody's gotta win. Yeah.
More importantly, he was celebrating his own award of being the WHL goalie of the month. So we've got everybody probably knows the other award we're gonna talk about, but this is exciting. I think we all were a little. Let's be honest. We're a little disappointed with training camp and the prospect tournament, and we wanted to see Kosa just like throw up shutout after shutout. And I mean, that was totally unfair, way off base to think about how young this kid is, and he's going up against pros for the first time. But this definitely gets us excited again. This is what you want to see because
very early on I know that it looks like we hit on Lucas Raymond and Mo Sider, but can we also immediately hit on a teenage goalie? Come on, Yzerman. Give us something to root for. It's a cool little award, and, you know, it just makes us feel a little bit better about that first-round goalie pick.
Yeah, and it's just adding to this list, right? Like, we need to do a thorough breakdown of what's going on with Elmer Soderblom. You know, 8 foot tall Elmer Soderblom, who's, I think, on a 5-goal game streak at this point, or at least the last time he played, he was on that 5-goal game streak. And Simon Edvinson has been lights out. Like, he's putting on more exciter performances in the SHL this year. So it's just one of those things where we just get more excited. But this is something, as you just mentioned, Mike, we it looks like we nailed it with more exciter at least 1 month in, because he's our other award winner. He won the October Rookie of the Month. Now, Mike, it's nice getting that.
Is this a bit of a shock?
No.
That he took it over Raymond?
Oh, that is a good question, because if you take a look at, you know, both of their performances, I mean, you could just take it from the points and give it to Lucas, but you could also look at the underlying analytics. And I think the only thing working against Lucas is that Moritz Seider is just already turned into, like, he needs to be out there for every situation for the Red Wings to sniff a win, where if you were just looking at, you know, expected goals, if you're just looking at points, you know, Lucas had the better month. But if you look at the guy who's actually affecting this game and affecting the wins, and he has to be out there for us to get close to a win, mm-hmm. like that is outside of production. That's where we're talking the narrative. That's where we're talking, you know, the eyeball test.
I think,
and that's where Moritz Seider gets this win.
This is a big deal because you and I made our predictions before the season, and I just said that Mo was going to medal for rookie of the year. But based on this, based on the way like Lucas Raymond already had like some pretty like sexy, you know, like coloring book stats with golf won the net, it feels like those are usually the types of players that we're going to see win these types of awards. For them to already be giving Mo Seider like credit, I mean, he did have assists, let's not forget that he did that, and he's already among the league leaders for that, but he didn't have the sexy like goal reels, you know, like Raymond did. So for them to already be like into this narrative, woo-wee, we might be getting one of those little sneaky deep cut rookie of the years, man. Might be our
I'm all for it because I mean he's also putting up the production. So it's one of those things like I don't know. Sometimes it's just. Like it's just the failings of the NHL is that they do still like to highlight point producers because really it's easier to market. It's better to market. It's something that kids get excited about. So that'll be the cherry on top is that Moritz Seider continues to produce with this team. But yeah, I mean, he's easily the best player on this team. I think just from the standpoint that Jeff Blashill already can't go, you know, I mean, he plays half the game every game. Already, you know, and it's one of those things where we did that with Hronek, and then we started making the argument that, well, Hronek's analytics probably look bad because he's playing, you know, a half hour every game. And then you look at Mo Seider do it.
Yeah.
He's making it work.
Yeah.
But this is the other thing I wanted to point out with Mo.
Oh, yeah, drop the quote in there, too. Yeah.
So this is Mo being asked about being named Rookie of the Month, because I thought this was beautiful. I thought this was deserving of someone else on the team being stripped of their alternate captain. Here's Mo, a rookie, right? Here's his answer. It's obviously a nice little appreciation. I like how he threw in little. But I think all in all, I just want to win hockey games. I'm really looking forward to the next couple of games. We have two more on this road trip, and I think we're hungry. We want to get those 4 points. Now... This is my favorite part about this entire, the award being given to Mo Seider is this quote right here. Because he is so locked in and dialed in. We've been talking about this since the season started that he's like a machine. He's like a robot. And they're looking for a little bit of, you know, they're looking for something colorful to post online. They're looking for something cute and funsies of like, oh, Mo, it's your first. And he comes locked in with like this, well, the only thing I've been thinking about is winning the next couple of games. So yeah, I'll just keep winning these because that'll just be what happens when I'm on the ice. But I just want to win hockey games. And I just think that's awesome. I think it almost got misdefined or titled as like Mo Seider being humble. I just think he's locked in. Like, this is just focus. This is like, no, don't. I don't want to be asked this question right now. I want to go watch film. I want to beat these fucking Bruins. I want to beat the Sabres. I want to beat the Golden Knights this weekend. Just get out of here.
Isn't that all we've heard from him? Like, from all his coaches is like what a like competitive player he is and how much he wants to improve. Like, you know, every week, every day, every game, every practice, every training session. I think you're right. And sometimes those quotes seem kind of hollow because they seem like a you know, a PA said, hey, say something, you know, about the betterment of the team. Don't be like, you know, the selfish hot dog. It really feels like I don't even think he's trying to pander. I just think he's like, yeah, that's nice, but I would like to win some more games. And performance art, boom, right in lockstep with us. Future captain of the team. Even if he's not, you know, Larkin's spot, definitely be taking DeKeyser or Mark Stahl's A, I think. So it's definitely bodes well. I think as a Detroit fan, you got to be pretty happy about those kind of words coming out of a teenager.
This is a great point too, is that 95% of the time he looks like a highly skilled vet. And it's what's funny is that 5% of the time, those rookie mistakes that are slipping in there, he does so well to correct them. And like, right. as we mentioned in the last episode, immediately be like work on himself and create offense and put pucks in the back of the net, or at least assist on them. Like, it's just like, you almost want to see those mistakes to have him get it out of the way and learn what it feels like, because he's so dialed in. He's just going to erase them completely from his game moving forward. I do want to touch on this. Eric Johnson, we were chatting yesterday with my Montreal Canadiens preview, but he wants to throw in there the conversation on a left-handed or our left side defenseman. I'll just put it that way. Because I saw the post today where some of the statistics, this kind of we'll go in lockstep with the cider conversation, but we are desperate for one. I just wonder, Mike, where we want to take this question, and do we really want to force this season? Because this was also a heated topic last night on Twitter of us going and searching for a left side defenseman to replace Mr. DeKeyser. Or do we just grin and bear it, get through this season, his contract's up, and then we move on? We're not winning the cup this year anyway. Let's not lose any assets. But we'll get into that in a second. First, I want to point out the statistics here, Mike. Mo Sider, Nick Leddy, Mike. 66.24% expected goals when they were playing together. Mike. Sider and Danny DeKeyser, 43.46, far 17 percentage points below 50. Mike, Nick Leddy, and Hronek, who I got shit for saying it's fine that he took a couple of games off, right? I'm the moron in that equation. But Hronek and Leddy, 38.7%. And then, of course, our favorite so far this season, Filip Hronek, Danny DeKeyser, 46.1%. So the odd pairing in here that really needs some work is Hronek and Leddy. We know that Danny DeKeyser is hurting Sider's game. We can see that anytime he's out there, Sider either is forced to correct those issues, or we just go through these games and we see the hard statistics are actually giving us that number to work with, that he's not able to generate the same quality and number of chances that he could when he was playing with Nick Leddy. We'll jump into the question here. I don't know which one you want to tackle first, but I'm going to add one more and I want to get your opinion. Now, Eric throws in there, grin and bear it. Do you try and fix this left-handed or the left side defenseman issue through a trade or whatnot? Do you grin and bear it? And then the other issue here, Mike, is do you just put DeKeyser and Hronek back together, have them fuck shit up, I guess in a negative way, and just have them suck, and then get Leddy and Sider back together because that was working? So you have just one power elite D pairing that can go with that first line and we can have a lot of fun. And then just put DeKeyser and Hronek, drop them down to like 6 minutes a game. Put baby in a corner and we'll try and move on. And I think I say that too, only because it looks like Blashill's making it impossible to see, you know, Osterley and Lindstrom come in, and we're not sure what Lindstrom's injury is, but I figured that eventually should be an option as well. So I'm throwing you all that stuff. Mike, what do you think? Grin and bear it, trade, or just put DeKeyser and Hronek, you know, 6 minutes a night. Let's give Sider and Leddy, they get 40 minutes. I'm jesting, you know, I kid, but yeah how do we figure this out?
Very quickly, you know, without doing a ton of research, I just wanted to look at like the 2021, like last year's trade deadline. And there were some definitely defensemen that kind of moved around, but I mean, essentially, if you're looking at, you know, giving up anything outside of a first and second round pick, yeah. I think what Yzerman's going to say is, as you, the veteran, are you hurting the growth of my babies? So I think that as time goes on, and if he's worried that they're not quite developing because, you know, people like Sider are having to constantly, like, you know, check their coattails for people who can't skate with them, you know, if they continue to worry, like, man, maybe what do we got to do about Hronek? Like, we really used to rely on this guy. Are we going to keep playing this over and over and over, like, to the detriment of the team and to the detriment of development? I think that's where the question, you know, arises. If they can still kind of flounder and, or like, you know, we saw them start out pretty hot, you know, and win games and look impressive, and they were fighting, you know, scratching and clawing for, you know, points in the standings. You know, that was inspired, watchable, thrilling hockey, Matt. But I think if it's to the detriment of the team and they continue this, you know, we know they're going to have issues in Canada. If it's anything more than a second round pick, I think Yzerman's just going to twiddle his thumbs. I don't think he's going to panic, because we already know somebody like Edmondson's going to be coming up. We know that there's an offseason coming. We know there's contracts that are going to be up this summer. So I don't know if they're really dying to put somebody on waivers, eat that money, and then trade a draft pick for, you know, a rental, because we already know that there's defensive prospects that are, you know, on the cusp of getting called up. So ultimately, after a lot of hemming and hawing, I don't know if I see a lot of moves for us in the near future.
I want to give the nod here, Derek Hand. Derek, glad to have you on. He throws out there, trade Stetcher for Justin Hall. Now, I put this together here. It's not an incredible upgrade, as we can see here with the two charts coming from Evolving Hockey. And what you're seeing are the measurements or comparisons between goals for per 60, expected goals, and Corsi, both for and against. And what you're looking for are some blue charts, and you want less orange / red charts. And we have a lot of orange / red from both Justin and Danny DeKeyser. So the argument here, I would assume, is that Justin is going to be put in a different opportunity. And there's obviously an upgrade here. If we were talking strictly the hard analytics for a multi-season comparison between these two fellers, but, you know, not an incredible upgrade, but really it just comes down to it. Anything that isn't Danny DeKeyser should probably be looked at as an upgrade.
I wouldn't trade Stetcher, though. I would rather trade a draft pick at this point. Third or lower, but I wouldn't trade Stetcher.
And I can respect that, too, because I feel like what we'd be doing is taking another D pairing that we have locked up that right now is a plus 50% expected goals for percentage of Mark Stahl and Troy Stetcher. And we have two seasons of data to compare that to. Or I guess, what am I saying? Two seasons. We have a half a season plus 10 games. And they've played really well together. So the last thing I want to do is break that up when you have something that you can fall back on is having Stetcher. But I like where Derek's head is at. Like, it's not.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. This is the kind of thing we're looking for, where Toronto hasn't put him in a prominent spot. So this is something you could nab up. No problem.
Yeah. I love his Hall pick. I wouldn't give up Stetcher. That's all. But I love Hall decision. Yeah.
I think the argument of the draft pick too is right up Toronto's alley, especially with something where they've really struggled to, I mean, they've had goaltender issues this season. That's, you know, been hurt because of salary cap issues, and they blame it on COVID and whatnot. But you know, I'll say this, like, that would be the perfect way for Toronto to solve that and get a little bit of space. I'm not sure what Hall's contract looks like, but at least that's certainly in the realm that we want to look at. Now we have
that. Looks like his numbers are, I think, $2 million a year.
All right,
nothing too crazy. Yeah.
Now I'll say this. Now here's Soapdish says we want to go sort of like in the Fabry direction for a left side defenseman. I think Justin right now is 29, so we are past trying to find a young guy in that realm. That's just trying to replace DeKeyser with you know what? I had that pulled up, the $2 million from Gap Friendly. Let's just try to replace DeKeyser. You know, any replacement is an upgrade. But I like where Soapdish's head is at, is trying to find something that would be similar to Fabry. And trying to just make that work. I just wonder what we give up to go in that direction, where I think if it is a haul, I feel like that asset we'd have to lose would probably be a little less steep in value, where Steve Yzerman is now defining himself as the reclamation project GM. And the more he does that, I'm sure the price, the asking price, is just going to start to go up. And that's unfortunately like the philosophy of being successful with that, right? And GMs having to adjust as they move forward while playing that game with Steve.
Yzerman is, if his motto, you know, as a GM, I'd say it's like that quote on the Statue of Liberty. Give me your tired, your poor, the wretched refuse of your teeming shore. You know, that's definitely Steve there with his reclamation projects. But, I wouldn't mind seeing Hall. We'd have to kind of shop around and see who else is willing to give up a, you know, number three or four second pairing defenseman, Matt. But I like the idea.
Here, just a quick gif here. Brad was asking what Osterley looks like, because Osterley did play on the right side when he did get some ice time a week ago. But we can take a look at Osterley and compare him with DeKaiser, at least for this season. And, I mean, we could see Osterley actually was pretty successful. It's a small sample size, yes, for this past season. But, I mean, it was something that was successful, right? Like, if we're trying to figure out who could be better than Danny DeKaiser, why not just throw in Osterley? Because he had a good time, apparently. The goals for per 60 is there. The expected goals against per 60 is there. And if, you know, you're figuring just any way to find some sort of advantage with these guys out there, it's not the deep red bars here that we see on DeKaiser's side. So we're not looking for a world beater here. We're just looking for an upgrade. And really right now, again, it looks like anybody would be an upgrade. We do have, everybody seems to be on board with keeping Troy. Derek just wishes that, Troy was left-handed. I think that's probably something the Red Wings wish too, with him not being in the lineup at the start of the season. It seems like there's something about Troy, like his issues with trying to fit on special teams as well, have kind of hurt him. I like Troy Stetcher. I was glad that we got to keep him. I'm glad that we got to keep him and Lindstrom. I think Chalowski leaving was worked out best for the Red Wings, because now he's pretty much done. I mean, he got put on waivers. Capitals picked him up. I'm not sure what he's doing now, but I still like hanging on to Stetcher for the time being, and I like having that Stahl Stetcher line as an option. So that's where my head's at. Yeah,
I got one more question for you here too, Matt. We've seen Hronek get an early, you know, early season soft reboot, where, you know, we're going to bench you for a couple and let's see what happens when I put some other guys on the ice, you know, from Blashill. Not that I think it's going to make worlds of difference, but is there something to, we know DeKaiser's been through just, you know, hellacious injuries. So it's a miracle he's even like playing, you know, as a shell of himself. Is there anything to like an NBA style load management for him, where maybe less games we can get more out of him? So more healthy scratches so he can come back at full strength?
It just looks to me like it's a speed thing. So even from the start of the season, I mean, that's, we're talking about our lower body injuries and him coming back from those. It just looks like the game has passed him by. You could give it a shot. I don't know why he hasn't had, you know, the healthy scratch so far this season. The point was brought up before the season started, or I'm sorry, like we were a week in. Like, I hope he's not being saved from the healthy scratches because they made him an alternate captain. And, you know, you at first you go, that's ridiculous. Why would they ever do that? And we talked about it, actually. You know, then it was mentioned Nielsen was healthy scratch last year. But then you're like trying to put it together. And he's clearly been the weak link for whatever D pairing he's on. And it's tough to figure out what's going on there. I do like Fethdar's point about how it was so hard for us to find a righty, and now we need to get away from that situation. I was thinking that as well, I think, at the start of the season. But like we said earlier, I think the real solution here might be to just let the season happen just wait. And as much as that sucks, you know, we didn't look terrible. And I still think we haven't even tried the Osterley on the left side yet. And we talked too about maybe putting one of our guys on the wrong side as well. We talked about that a couple of weeks ago. So I think that's a legit option that could still prove to be better than Danny DeKeyser. And yeah, we've got some names being thrown out there, Mike. Tristan's he's back. He's throwing out Cam Fowler. I gotta say, I mean, yeah.
It was our last yeah, three seasons. Sign up for that.
Yeah, exactly. I'm all about it. I think Anaheim's the one that thinks. I heard it explained on Puck Soup where it looks like Anaheim is trying to do this thing where they're going to reload with young talent and keep all of their old guys and just hope that it works out for one magical season. So if you can pry one of these guys away from Anaheim, or if we see one of them move, then that's where, you know, that's where we can get, you know, kind of creative and antsy with Cam Fowler and the Ducks. But so far it just looks like the Ducks want to luck out and have the young talent sort of elevate along with keeping the old guys. The young talent's going to elevate to be elite all of a sudden. And yeah, then they'll hopefully win a cup is kind of what it looks like the management style is. No tanking in Anaheim. You can't do it. You got to keep everybody.
That would be an incredibly tough get, I feel like. That would involve first round picks.
Have I mentioned, I actually did a school accounting project, like 2 years out of high school with Cam Fowler's junior hockey team D pairing, mate.
Yeah. I kind of vaguely remember that story. Yeah. It's kind of cool. Yeah.
We're still buddies on Facebook. Maybe one day if Cam Fowler comes over to the Wings, I'll talk to that guy and then tell him to bring him on the show.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I would love Fowler on the Wings, but it would be giving up a lot. And I don't know, I, based on what happens one game of Bertuzzi being out, I don't think Cam Fowler is the answer. It's probably like 9 forwards plus Fowler and then probably another defenseman. So.
Now, this Soap Dish is applying this to the Grinnan Barrett, I believe, but bringing up Lindholm being an upcoming free agent, Tristan's all about it. I think that's the route to go again. I think you guys are right to bring that up and start looking at the free agent market. Now, it could be something too, Soap Dish, where you bring up Lindholm being an upcoming free agent. You could bring in the conversation. Do you think it's time that we explore trying to bring him over and try and snatch anything early if we still think there's something to salvage in this season? But I'm going to push away from that, but I'm to throw out there, you know, you put out there for Lindholm. I'm just wondering where your head's at. Are you trying to take advantage of the fact that he has an upcoming expiring contract or where's your head? Do you want to force something this year? I'll tell you what, that we got to wrap up soon. Cause I said a half hour and we're at 42 minutes, but Soap Dish, I want to get your thoughts on that. And then we'll kind of wrap up here.
I'd say the only way that Lindholm deal is possible, if it kind of goes more along what I would call more of an NBA transaction, where at the deadline, Anaheim's like, dude, he's just going to walk. Let's just try and get something for him. And that's where the Red Wings could maybe throw a pick their way and, you know, try to re-sign him. But if stuff feels like it would be an awful lot to get him, like more than the Red Wings should be responsibly offering.
Yeah, and Soap Dish, his official statement, everybody, he doesn't think Yzerman is going to trade for him. Now, Tristan's thrown out there, too. Every time we talk about potential free agents, somebody gets extended. So he's calling it.
Dude, every time.
5x5 deal.
Every time, Tristan. 100% of the time.
Well, I mean, this is the FUD conversation, right? Because if we are adding a Hampus Lindholm or we find space for him, and we know that there's potential for Simon Edvinson to be making his way over next year, especially with how well he's playing. I mean, you play a game in the SHL, and everybody's comparing you to Nicklas Lidström. I can't imagine you're spending too much more time away from your professional camp. But who knows? Well, Mike, did we have anything else on our list that I failed to mention? Because I brought up more things than I... Oh, right. The end of Gary Bettman's stint as commissioner. We could talk more about that in the next episode. I just wanted to make sure I got that out there in one of our episodes. You know, I mentioned that the second all of this stuff started coming out, Kyle Beach, and when punishments were being handed down, and we all kind of looked at it and we're just kind of like, what the fuck is this bullshit? Like, what kind of lame punishment is this for one of the most egregious, you know, acts that's we've ever seen in pro sports? Yeah. And my first thought was, all right, we've perpetuated some horrible hockey culture for quite a while, and there's been one guy at the helm this entire time. There's not much to go over, but we can talk about it more in the next episode. But I'm hoping now that the owners are starting to grumble, and I always say it doesn't matter when we're angry, but when rich people get angry, that's when change happens. The only thing is, we are talking about making rich people happy as well, which also bugs me. But yeah, it's a it's a shit-filled street to walk down.
Really, really rooting for that trickle-down economics here. Let me tell you, which I did. I thought we were done with, but yeah, we need to make appease them for sure. Yeah, let's wrap it up, man.
All right, everybody, thanks for tuning in. Sorry we're not going with our regular 90-minute episode, but Matt's going to go to sleep. We'll see you guys on Sunday after the Vegas game, and we'll kind of wrap up the weekend, and hopefully, like Mo Sider said, we'll be knocking some boys out. He said 4 points, Mike. I'm going to say 6 points.
Woo!
I'm not calling 6 points. I'm just wondering why Sider said this weekend we're going to wrap up 4 points when we clearly have 3 games. So he's selling us short, Mike. Take that, captain. Just rip it right off. He's done. He called a loss. I'm kidding. He just was talking about the away games. All right. Sorry, this isn't even funny.
Very important question before we go.
Yeah.
Boston, not in Canada. Matt, Buffalo, that is very close to Niagara Falls. Does that fall into Canada? Are we safe? Will we get will we get Bertuzzi in that game?
It would be funny if Buffalo was like, I'm sorry, that's too close. Tyler can't come. Or if there was like a radius that Buffalo had to change stadiums so that Tyler could play.
And then Vegas. So I mean these are all winnable games because Bertuzzi is playing.
I went with like a big juicy loss in my preview. If you guys want to watch that on the channel, it's an 8-minute video, a lot quicker than this sucker.
Are you going loss, win, win?
I am. I guess I haven't done my deep dive yet on the other two games, but I would probably guess loss, win, loss.
I see us.
What? Vegas is. I forget about Vegas's injuries. Fuck it. Let's do loss, win, win.
And then I'm going to say loss, win, win. Then we play Edmonton. I'm getting ahead of myself. That's a loss. But then we're playing the Capitals, which is a game I'm attending. So we're going to win 9-1. Woo! Can't wait. I'll give them one.
Fethdar did point out, Mike, if Buffalo wasn't allowed.
Fethdar, don't you dare. Don't you dare bring that up again. I don't want anyone else to hear how close we are.
Tyler Bertuzzi's only allowed to play in U.S. games outside of Detroit. And
he's only allowed to play on the offensive zone in the first and third period, and then the defensive zone in the second period. Otherwise, he's too close to Canada. We got to pull him out.
Also, Brad throwing out there, Arizona too close to Mexico. But we do have...
Yeah, here, Brad. Too close to Mexico.
Brad's got OT loss, loss, and win. You guys are really in love with Buffalo right now. I got to say, that smells to me like that's one of the games where the Red Wings are going
to
take one.
We're bringing them back to Earth, baby.
Yeah, that's a back-to-Earth Buffalo
We're taking
game.
Them to Pound Town.
Tristan's also in that East Coast Buffalo loss, no, but a man. Win against Boston and Vegas. Woo! All right, Soap Dish bringing us back down to earth. He's going 0-3.
Oh, Soap Dish, come on, man. All right, a few of these, I want to see some FanDuel screenshots because holy crap. Win, loss, win? Come on.
Yeah, we should do that if you guys have a
We
fun
should do
weekend,
the screenshot challenge and yeah. See who's going to stand up with these picks.
Fethdar does bring up, it would be fun if they had like a little...
I don't know if you've been to a Red Wing home game yet this year, but in between periods, they do put the guys in plastic bubbles. So Matt,
it's an option.
Get Bertuzzi fitted.
Yeah, you got to put a. Yeah, we got to close up the top though, so like you could still breathe out the top. We got to patch that right up. He's got to keep all that carbon monoxide inside. Wait, what do you expel? You bring in oxygen and you...
Carbon dioxide comes out.
Oh, yeah. dioxide. I said monoxide.
Don't give him carbon monoxide, man. He'll be dead. What if we get him one of those, you know, like for the dryer? You know, those aluminum pipes, and we'll send it up through the roof of Little Caesars.
See, now this is how we take a 40-minute episode and turn it into an hour. I got to give Tristan a chance, though. He does say the Buffalo game is a trap game for us. So I'm playing the game like Buffalo's going to be like, all right, we're going to keep this hot streak going. We're going to stay at the top of the Atlantic. We got Detroit coming in. They're little fluffer nutters. So we're going to take a big chomp out of them. It's a, you know, sandwich fluffer nutter. Anyways, I'm also trying to give a buffer game for Dylan to come back. If we don't have Dylan for Boston, and that's how I played my preview.
If Dylan is not playing in Boston, automatic loss. So I'm assuming that it's a buzzsaw for the next game.
If you guys want to check out the preview, I mean, that second line is producing just as well as the first line, which, if we all remember, is titled the perfection line for a reason in Boston. So you've got some secondary scoring that you've got to compete with. And I just want to remind everybody how incredibly difficult that has been any secondary scoring.
If I have to take the FanDuel screenshot challenge, I'm going loss, win, win.
And just like I gave Tristan the shot, Soap Dish, he's going 0 for 3, and his reasoning is because he wants more top 10 picks. So that's...
All right.
I had to do that. I don't want anybody missing out on their shot to defend themselves. All right. Like I mentioned, the Boston preview is out, so you guys can go check that out. Just going over some of the analytics and trying to find a victory. It was really tough, so... You can guess where I settled. Oh, I just gave away where I settled. What the fuck am I talking about? But yeah, go watch the video. Like I mentioned, Tristan has been begging for a Mitchell Stevens video. I just have to finish editing that one. It actually ended up being about 90 minutes of recorded footage, and I want to shrink it down to about 15 minutes. So that's going to take Matt quite a bit of time. But you guys want to check that out because there is an announcement for a giveaway in that video. Ooh. So keep your ear to the ground. I said... Keep your head to the wall, I think, at the start of this episode.
Keep your foot to the pedal.
Keep your foot to the pedal and that episode will, you'll run it over. I don't know. Fuck, I got to go to bed. All right.
Keep a hot dog in the buns.
Keep your hot dog in the buns. Cover it with mustard and relish, and that episode will be in your pocket. Stop letting me talk. Jesus Christ, you got to go.
All right. See you, Matt. Matt, how's Teddy doing? Another 20-minute segment. All right. See you, everybody.